This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Good afternoon. For Rob Hart, I'm Jim Gudis. We'll look at an intergenerational co-mentoring program that's connecting older and younger adults in the Chicago area in our next segment. But right now, let's talk about that government jobs report for March as we break down the numbers with the help of Andrew Bush, the former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and the economic futurist at andrewbush.com out of Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Andy, some really impressive numbers today.
Yeah, this really showed strong growth. 300,000 plus they revised up last couple of months as well. The U.S. economy just continues to, you know, really rock forward. And, you know, whether it was healthcare or construction, manufacturing did fairly good. It's just amazing how strong this economy is. And I just, it's hard to see us slowing down on the job creation side a whole lot. That will probably come off a little bit. But on the overall economic growth, it's just really difficult to see a significant slowdown when job growth is this strong.
Andy, is there anything in these numbers or anything that you're seeing that suggests that even though everything is kind of looking good, there are still some areas that we might have some caveats?
Well, the first thing I would say is everybody has to dial back their expectations on the Fed cutting interest rates. There's no need for them to do anything. Why would you cut rates if we're continuing to create this many jobs and you've got economic growth at 2.5%? Like, inflation is not down to 2% yet. That's going to be sticky from this 3% down to 2.5% down to 2%, which is where the Fed wants it to end up. So if you're basing everything that the Fed's going to cut interest rates and, you know, that's going to save the day, that ain't happening. But the good news is that overall, there's just so much growth. There's so many things going on that I don't think it's not necessarily that you shouldn't worry about stuff. There's the inflation overall remains a problem. That's going to take much longer to get rid of than most people expect. So that's really where the biggest concern is for the markets and for the economy overall.
Andy, what does this say about the overall strength of the economy as opposed to the policies that have been implemented to boost the economy?
Yeah, the thing that I would point out is that these big spending bills that came under both President Trump and President Biden, they take a while to work into the economy. The reason is because Congress writes a law, then it has to go to Treasury. Treasury has to write the rules for the law. Then those go out to everybody. The states have to look at whether or not they can meet those requirements. Then they have to write their own RFP, go back to Treasury. Then Treasury approves. Then they send the money out. That process can take, you know, 12 to 18 months. So I would just say there's four big spending bills that worked their way through Congress over that time frame. Now we're just getting that money starting to flow out. The bipartisan infrastructure spending plan is a great example of that. That spending probably will peak in 2024, but it's going to continue all the way to 2028. So these policies will keep the U.S. economy going for quite some time.
Andy, so it sounds to me like at this point things are looking fairly optimistic. What's your advice for investors with this news and what you're seeing as to what we can expect down the road?
Well, every investor is different, right? So what I will say is this, like, and we didn't talk about AI. I know that's been beat to death, but honestly, as Mark Benioff from Salesforce said, every one of his clients is trying to figure out how to use AI. And what that means is that they're going to get more efficient, more productive, and more profitable as they do that. They're going to get better at what they do. The productivity levels are going to go up. And if that's the case, then the stock market, to me, looks cheap, even at these levels. I know that sounds ridiculous, but if you start thinking about what AI can do for companies, it gets pretty exciting in that sense. I'm not saying it's going to take off from here or anything like that, you know, no Dow 80,000 or something crazy. But knowing that there's this amazing tool that everybody's trying to figure out how to use, that's pretty cool.
That's Andrew Bush, the former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com. Thanks as always, Andy. Coming up, promoting innovation across generations.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A mentoring program in the Chicago area is promoting innovation across the generations. And let's talk about ageless innovators with Luke Tannen, the president and CEO of Chicago Innovation, the website, chicagoinnovation.com. So what a great thing to have mentoring crossing generations and sharing experiences. How does that work?
Yes, well, I'll tell you all about it. I know you were just talking about how AI is good for businesses. Well, I'll tell you another AI that's good for businesses, but this one stands for Ageless Innovators, which is a program run by Chicago Innovation, which is our group, plus the Village Chicago. It's funded by RRF Foundation for Aging. It is the first intergenerational co-mentoring program that connects older and younger adults together in the Chicago region to be reciprocal mentors to each other. And, you know, its whole purpose really is to fuel intergenerational relationship building in the workplace.
And that's a good point that you make, that it's not just one direction. It's both generations helping each other and sharing their unique experiences and their unique skill sets and their unique knowledge to help each other improve.
Exactly. And the reason why this matters, it really does all tie back to innovation. And we all know that innovation results from diverse teams working together to solve challenges. Without diverse teams, you don't have diversity of thought. And really, you end up having people with similar mindsets and attitudes looking at problems in the same way. But having age-diverse teams is one way to fuel diversity of thought and innovation, because people of different generations, they see the world's challenges differently and have completely unique orientations towards possible new ideas and new solutions. So you want age-integrated teams in the workforce, and really you have to today. There are five generations in the workplace, and people are living longer and working longer than ever before.
Luke, is there ever a misperception? You know, we often think about innovation and we think about new ideas and we think about, well, young people tend to have new ideas, but do we sometimes overlook the ability of older workers with more experience to also provide innovation?
Yes, and that's called ageism, and it's one of the isms that is pervasive, but we don't always think about or talk about. But that's really where Ageless Innovators comes into play. And this program, by getting paired with a co-mentor who's from a totally different generation, it enables you to see the world from the perspective of someone much older or much younger than you, and that provides you with age-related empathy. And with this new outlook, it really does change your mindset about people from older generations or different generations, what they're capable of and what they want to learn about. And you know what? It's important to have this age-related empathy, because it truly does, you know, biases affects all types of decisions you make in the workplace, from who you choose to be on your team to who you're going to promote to who you're going to hire. So Ageless Innovators is helping us turn the page on age by working to combat ageism in the workplace. And it really helps people understand that age is another dimension of inclusion when it comes to DE&I.
That's Luke Tannen, the president and CEO of Chicago Innovation. The website, chicagoinnovation.com. Recruiting for Ageless Innovators is open until April 26th. Up next, strategies for what to do when you win the Powerball jackpot.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The jackpot for tomorrow night's Powerball drawing is $1.23 billion. That's the fourth largest in the game's history. And should you be the big winner or a big winner in any of these games, or suddenly find yourself getting a bunch of money, there are some key things to remember. And to talk about it, we're joined by Mark Horner, the wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton, the website fairhavenwealth.com. So if you do win a big jackpot, whether it be the Powerball or anything, or you just suddenly come into some money, what's the best advice for dealing with that?
Yeah, so that's you're casting, I think, a wide net appropriately, Jim. So this applies to way more people than just a lottery winner. So people that maybe have a lump sum pension rollover or just a 401k rollover, it can be very easy to see a big number next to your name on a bank account or on a brokerage statement and think that that number you can never outspend. And that is a huge mistake to make. So any quick look online can find any number of list of celebrities that blew through hundreds of millions of dollars, big, big numbers. And so it's very, very important to not get yourself set up in spending that's going to lead you down a road that could lead to zero. I've had two clients run out of money in my 24 years of doing this as a financial advisor, and one was due to spending. And so very important, no matter what that dollar amount is, to make sure that you don't get into lifestyle creep and start spending money wildly, because that can be very difficult to stop.
Now, you've got a list of things to do. So let's just go quickly through that list of things to remember should you suddenly need to deal with a large sum of money.
So no public promises. No saying to family, hey, we're going to pay for private school for everybody. No going into business right away with family members, college buddies. I'd say no big financial decisions, maybe even in that first year. Take that first year to really take a deep breath and examine your own financial circumstances to be able to put together a plan. No buying houses for everybody. No going out and buying a bunch of classic cars. Really think about going slowly because again, this lifestyle creep of spending more and more and more money can be just very, very difficult to dial down. So very important to move slowly.
And Mark, one important thing I imagine is to make sure you've got some good legal help and some good financial help.
So that could be a little self-serving, me being a financial advisor, but just because it might be self-serving doesn't mean that it's also not true. So absolutely, getting a good team around you that could be a financial advisor, a legal person, and a good tax person. The government is going to have no patience whatsoever with you not paying your taxes on time.
That's Mark Horner, the wealth advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Wheaton. You can check out his website at fairhavenwealth.com. Still ahead on Entrepreneur Friday, an award-winning Chicago chef launches a business focusing on private clients.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey. podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. For Rob Hart, I'm Jim Gutis, and these are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
This is Mike Krauser. The Bears meet with the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority about a new lakefront stadium.
New York City is rattled by an earthquake. On Entrepreneur Friday, we're joined by a top Chicago chef whose latest investment caters to private clients. And there's a kerfuffle in sports involving a home run ball from LA Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 378 points, the S&P 500 up 64, and the NASDAQ is ahead by 250 points. AccuWeather says clouds giving way to sunshine this afternoon. It's breezy. We'll have a high of 46. And then for tonight, mainly cloudy. Lows will range from 26 in some of the inland suburbs to 37 along the lakefront. Right now, it's partly sunny and 45 at O'Hare at 12:31. The Bears and the head of the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority met this week as the team makes its push for a new stadium on the lakefront, as we hear from WBBM's Mike Krauser.
Both the Bears and the White Sox were expected to look to the agency for assistance with new developments through tax-exempt bonds. Cranes reports Bears reps met with the authority's CEO Frank Bilecki for what's described as a high-level discussion about the stadium that could cost $3 billion with a team commitment of $2 billion. The authority is still paying off hundreds of millions in debt from the 2003 renovation of Soldier Field. The General Assembly and the governor would have to sign off on issuing new bonds. Bilecki says both teams are working to try to get something done and get shovels in the ground as soon as possible. Mike Krauser, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
An earthquake has shaken the New York metropolitan area today. This is CBS meteorologist John Elliott.
We've not had any reports of any kind of significant damage. 4.8, I mean, you would consider that the typical earthquake around here is like a 1.8. So this is significant.
The earthquake was centered near the community of Lebanon, New Jersey.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And markets are higher today. In fact, the Dow up 377 points now, the S&P 500 up 65, and the NASDAQ's ahead by 253 points. And to talk about what's moving the markets, we have Jeff Kilberg, the founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. So, Jeff, how much of this is the job numbers, and what are other factors that might be driving up stock prices today?
Well, Jim, it's interesting to see the jobs number, to your point, was better than expected. We saw 303,000 new jobs added in the month of March. Expectations were for only 212,000. One of the inputs, though, still being contemplated and deciphered in the marketplace is what is the net immigration input into that number? How many jobs are actually being filled by documented or undocumented immigrants? And that's where it's a bit of a question mark. But to your point, we are seeing a snapback rally. We actually saw volatility hit the equity markets yesterday for the first time. We had a 2% intraday move lower. It's been a staircase all the way up for the last 25% in the S&P 500 since last November. So here, with volatility, the VIX is measuring at 16. We are seeing elevated volatility. We are seeing the market move higher today, but with interest rates, the 10-year note back at 4.40%, we are going to see if there's going to be more volatility in the weeks ahead as the second quarter has kicked off to a bit of a rocky start.
And let's talk a bit about that, the increased volatility that we're looking at with the VIX index. What does that signal for investors?
Well, Jim, I think you have to understand volatility, and we trade a lot of volatility, a lot of VIX futures and options, but understanding what does it mean and where it comes from is so critical. So the VIX has historically been very subdued for the last 5-6 months, meaning no one's been concerned about a pullback. We all are anticipating that the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates, and once they start cutting interest rates, that will be the next potential leg up for the stock market.
with this robust data and some of the outlier hotter than expected inflationary data points we've had in the last couple of months, those interest rate cuts are now in question. Therefore, we're seeing volatility tick up. So with the VIX above 16, we may see more volatility, and we may actually see the market pull back 5 or 6% here, which I believe would be really healthy. There's still a ton of cash on the side, Jim, about $6 trillion. So I think any type of pullback here, which is well more than expected. It's been over 100 days since we've seen the S&P 500 pull back more than 2%. So I think it'd be welcome. I think it'll be shallow. I think buyers will emerge when you see a 5 or 6% drop potentially in the month of March.
Jeff, while these numbers are positive, a question for you. How concerned should we be, or do we need to be concerned, about the possibility of the economy overheating? Because it is performing better, at least in terms of the job numbers, than we've expected.
And that's a great point, because volatility, certainly in the inflationary data, may produce an environment where if the economy is staying robust, the consumer is still strong. And as you know, the consumer drives 70% of the U.S. economy. So as long as we see those numbers, if the Fed starts cutting interest rates, which, by the way, I don't think they should, Jim, because if they do, that could fuel new inflation, and that could make the market and the economy a little more vulnerable to a harder pullback. Right now, the Fed is trying to pull off a soft landing with their interest rate policy. However, I don't know whether we're giving any credit to the Fed. They've been notoriously been wrong for decades upon decades.
Jeff, is there anything that's kind of flying under the radar in terms of what investors should be looking at or need to know or watch because of what we're talking about not only today, but just recently in terms of market and economy developments?
I think you should be focused on where interest rates are. I think if the 10-year has the ability to come back to 4%, that should be a green light, smooth sailing for markets moving ahead. But right now, with interest rates elevated, it is going to be hard. It's a stock picker's market. And I think if you look at a name like Tesla, which is down over 30% year to date, that's an opportunity. I believe it's the most pure artificial intelligence play out there, better than NVIDIA, despite the fact NVIDIA has been the darling artificial intelligence play. But I think you have to be very considerate of where you're allocating money and sectors. Seeing energy as the number one sector this year, and you're seeing communications led by Facebook and Google second to that in the sector displacement.
That's Jeff Kilberg, the founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Thanks, Jeff. Always great to get your perspective. Up next on Entrepreneur Friday, an award-winning chef shares her private vision.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and the focus this afternoon is on a new business centered on food of the award-winning variety. And we welcome Alicia Elenz, the founder of the private chef company Whisk the Night Away in Chicago. Alicia, thanks for joining us, and what an exciting idea you've come up with. Essentially, to bring the dining experience of the restaurant directly to the home. Tell me about it.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for having me. It was kind of a perfect accident. The idea kind of came to me during COVID. I got laid off, like I'm sure a lot of people did, and I just wanted to do something to stay busy, and it was, again, during COVID, nobody could go out. A lot of people's, like, celebrations got canceled, so it kind of turned into, like, okay, well, we'll bring this experience to you, not thinking that it was going to do as well as it did, and it ended up doing really well, and, yeah, it's been a lot of fun for me. I get to do what I love, but then I also get to, like, kind of cater to what people are looking for, so I almost feel like I'm always meeting people's expectations.
Now, it is something that is very special, and again, something that we didn't see as much before the pandemic, and we're seeing a little bit more of now in terms of, you know, different ways of people enjoying, you know, dining and experiences. But what is it about what you're doing that really makes this unique and special and is, you know, you could go to a fine restaurant or you could go to a place and, you know, get maybe the same quality of food. But what makes this unique and special that makes it such a great experience?
Yeah, of course. So the way I've kind of been explaining it to people is, like, you know, we don't do set menus or set experiences. It's really client by client. So not to knock restaurants, because I love restaurants and that's, you know, where I came from. But, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you're already kind of going in having a lot of those decisions made for you. You know, the decor, the table, the glassware, the menu even. And obviously you get to pick from the menu, but you know, it's kind of already made up for you. You're a guest in their home. So with my business, it's like we're kind of a guest in your home and we're there to kind of drive what it is you're looking for. So I get to know the client, kind of what, you know, what kind of theme they're going for, what foods they like or don't like, or if there's something that, you know, they really want to try or have me recreate for them. And so they really get this like special curated experience for, you know, like exactly what they're thinking. And they kind of get to be like the driving force on it. I'm just there to make it happen.
What do you find your customers find is the most surprising and unexpected pleasure that they get from using your company?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think the flexibility for, you know, for sure. Like I said, a lot of people are used to getting these set menus and, you know, we very much are, you know, we even base our pricing off of that. I don't give people like flat pricing. It's based off what you're looking for. But funny enough, I think what people are always very shocked by is that we do full setup and full cleanup. So, you know, we cater to a lot of people with families mostly. And so like when we're finished up with the event, like we, a lot of times we'll leave their kitchen cleaner than we found it. And I can't tell you how many times people are like, oh my gosh, you clean too. And I'm like, yeah, that's part. I mean, it's like we come in, we're not even there. We leave, like it's supposed to be very like quick. You don't even know we're there.
That's Alicia Elens, the founder of the private chef company Whisk the Night Away. You can have the restaurant experience at your home, and you'll also maybe have a kitchen that's cleaner than it was before they arrived. That's an added bonus. Thanks so much for joining us. Still to come, the controversy over a recently minted piece of sports memorabilia.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Some bad feelings have been generated after a fan caught the first home run ball hit as an LA Dodger by baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani. Let's discuss the financial and some might say moral questions with our own Judson Richards, our sports and news anchor. So, Judson, what exactly happened here and what's the problem?
Yeah, Jim, it's a very interesting story, fitting too, with Shohei Ohtani making his debut at Wrigley in just about a half hour. But Shohei, who's been off to a bit of a slow start for him, the new Dodger that signed a record-setting $700 million deal, he just hit his first home run at Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles. A Dodger fan caught the ball. It is a historic ball because it's the first one he ever hit as a Dodger. Security immediately surrounded this woman, not only removed her, but also kept her separated from her husband. Now, reports are that security said that if she did not exchange the baseball with them, because they wanted to give it to Shohei Ohtani as his first homer as a Dodger, they would not authenticate the baseball, so it would be not worth any money. She agreed to it, feeling kind of rushed and even bullied by security, gave up the ball for a couple of signed bats, balls, and a hat. And then as they left the stadium and she was back with her husband, they were very, very upset about how things unfolded because of the potential value of the baseball.
Now, Judson, I know you're not an attorney, so I know you can't necessarily give me legal advice, but what have you heard about what this couple can do in this case, that if they didn't feel pressured and that they perhaps gave up the ball for far less value than they should have or could have received? What options do they have?
Yeah, here's the thing. So the LA Times article most recently did speak to an auction company, and they already said that the baseball could be worth $50,000 to $100,000 right now. And when it comes to authentication, remember, that baseball is yours. You do not have to give it up if you receive it. And these games, we know this, they're televised, right? You have proof that you caught that ball by way of video, and you cannot go and buy one of these baseball at Dick's Sporting Goods. They do have barcodes. Authentication is not a big problem. And so already $50,000 to $100,000, and let's not forget, Shohei Ohtani, he is an international superstar. That means that there are even more people that may be willing to bid on that baseball. Shohei still has a very long career ahead of him. He could go on to pitch, let's say, the seventh game of a World Series, throw a no-hitter. Who knows what he still has left
in a very lengthy career as that baseball can go up and up and up in value. And the most important thing when it comes to memorabilia, Jim, when we are spending money because of an emotional decision, right? If you were at that game with your late father, if you were at that game with your young son, what you may be willing to spend, what you may be willing to outbid someone else because of that emotional play when it comes to memorabilia, that is why they should not have given up the ball. Reportedly, the Dodgers have invited the family to come back because this has become a big story, and they are going to review how they go about these major moments when it comes to memorabilia. Now, they have not said that they're giving the baseball back. If I was this woman who received the ball, I would look for a do-over. I would look for a trade back. I don't know if that's the case. But most importantly, if you get a ball, if you're going to that game today and something major happens, you hold on to that baseball and you figure it all out later and make a decision and do not be bullied by security.
That's Judson Richards, our sports and news anchor, sharing us details about the issue in which the first home run ball hit by an L.A. Dodger, the most famous one right now, Shohei Ohtani, the people who caught it felt pressured to give it up, and now there's a question about whether the team acted properly in how it handled it. If you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.